And then welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host, coming to you again from the Clock Tower Plaza, the location of Coins Plus. As I said, the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, 3201 North Division Street. The iconic landmark building in Spokane that kind of separates lower North Division from upper. The building's definitely become a landmark. We see it used on various news stations, and I've seen it in various pictures representing Spokane. I know there's the big clock tower downtown. That's not us. We've actually had people show up at the clock tower downtown and call us from our cell and say, "Hey, where are you guys?" Well, the one problem there is there's no businesses in that clock tower. But anyway, we've got about a 75, 80 foot high clock tower on the crest of the Division Street Hill. If you've never been here, one common issue that we run into often is people that don't understand who we are. And if they've never been in and, you know, they're thinking about doing business, they'll be lacking peace of mind, technically, because they don't know who we are. People that come and see our facility and check it out, a lot of times I think it legitimizes us. And I understand a building doesn't make a person, and a building doesn't make, guarantee integrity. But I think that once you see it and understand the level of commitment and permanence that we have here through commitment, I think it helps people to understand we're legit. And the thing I think that kind of makes me scratch my head, baffles me a little bit, is the fact that the internet allows so much business, or, you know, it generates so much activity to illegitimate sources. And in this business, it's a catch 22 I play with all the time, folks, because I don't want to scare you. I don't want to negative out on our business and industry, but I do want to rightfully warn you. Precious metals and rare coins is the true open free market. It's kind of unique. It is capitalism at its finest. It was deregulated there. We were on a gold standard, clear up until 71, and then metals were completely deregulated. That has its advantages and disadvantages. The deregulation gives you immense freedom, okay? There's a lot of products that people come in and they're like, okay, you know, daily activity here, you know, people call, they inherit something. What do I need to bring in with the metal to prove it's mine? Nothing. What do I need, you know, to bring in? Do I need anything for the IRS? No, nothing. You know, well, how do I know? How do you know this? How do you know that? Do you need a piece of paper? No, I do not. Okay. I don't need a piece of paper to tell me what your gold's worth, how much gold you have, etc. I will say, on one hand, if you have Swiss 20 francs and things like this, if you have gold in other than the older coins, older U.S. coins, that's excluded from this conversation. But if you have gold bullion and you have it in the form of a coin that doesn't say what it is, what's in it, you know, how much it weighs, what's the quantity, get out. I mean, it's simple as trading. And, You know, there's all kinds of hypotheticals. Well, you know, if I have to trade with my neighbor, or I have to trade, how do they know it's real? How do they know this? How do they know that? I mean, if you really want to know if it's real, all you got to do is go buy a little bottle of nitric acid, scratch it, and put nitric acid on it. If it burns it, it's not gold. If it doesn't, it is. But when you hold gold in your hand, a gold coin, I cannot tell you the number of times people, you know, they want to go through all these hypotheticals on the phone. How do I know it's real? How do I know it's not counterfeit? Well, you know, you're going to be buying coins minted by respected world governments that have never had a problem with their, you know, trust over the years. We stand behind everything we sell, so on and so forth. Yeah, but how do I know? How do I know? How do I know? I say, come in. Let me put a gold coin in your hand. Well, how do I know it's not brass? So you come in, I'll put a brass coin in one hand and a gold coin in the other, and you tell me which one's which. I'll put a brass coin in one hand that looks like gold, and I'll put a gold coin in the other hand that looks like brass, and you'll still know. And every time they come in and you put it in their hand and they go, oh, wow, you know, it's so dense. You can't fake density. People go, what about lead? What about lead? Can't you gold plate lead? First of all, lead is only about 70% as dense as gold. You'd have to have another 50% in volume of lead to equate gold. There is no other adhesible metal in existence that God created that matches the properties of gold. Think that's an accident? It's the highest fully adhesible metal on the elemental table that operates as it does. Okay, there's an exception. It's called platinum. But platinum doesn't look anything like gold. And platinum's much more rare than gold. Much, much, much more rare. Platinum is so rare, folks. It is literally 100 times as rare as gold. Okay, so minimum or more. For every ounce of platinum that comes out, there's 100 ounces of gold and thousands of ounces of silver. But, you know, platinum's not, you're not going to get scammed with platinum. I mean, it's awesome. Now, here's some other issues. You can't gold plate lead. It won't hold. It won't touch. Lead's disgusting. The other thing is you take a gold coin and you just kind of set it on the rim at an angle and let it drop on a table so it rings. So it's, you know, when you drop a coin and it goes woo, 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 woo. Gold has the most beautiful ring. It's like ring, you know, when it's spinning. Coins, you can tell the difference between a struck and a poured coin. When some people will make fake coins poorly, if you don't know anything, you'll be like, hey, look, a such and such coin. I mean, if you know anything, the poured ones are the worst pieces of junk you've ever seen. But when something is poured, it doesn't ring when you drop it. It just thuds. A coin that's been struck rings. And without further ado, I'll just tell you, you know what you get. And on top of all that, we stand behind everything we sell 100%. And then you're like, well, what if you sell me something that's not real and then you're not in business? Well, folks, that ain't happening. We've never intentionally sold anything that's fake. I say intentionally because we've never unintentionally sold anything that's fake, but obviously we never would. You have our guarantee behind everything. The reason I got on that topic is simple. Not all coin businesses are created alike. Coins Plus operates literally from one of the finest facilities nationwide. There's one that I consider close. And it's called, it's out of business now. The guy died. It was out of the Midwest somewhere. He bought an old southern mansion. I think he was from a wealthy family. And he bought a really cool old mansion and operated from there. And it was neat. But he had to turn the old kitchen into an office. And, it still wasn't Coins Plus. Coins Plus is built from the ground up. It's a quality building. You know, when we first built the building, people, you know, our competition, or if you want to call them that, basically, at this level, folks, we have no competition in the local area or even in the region. We're a completely different entity. We're not a little ho-dunky coin shop, you know, sitting there buying grandpa's old junk and, you know, and putting little cardboard holders out in the showcase full of garbage. And, you know, that's not us. We're a high-volume, low-margin dealer. That means to you, we're maybe like a combination of Costco and Nordstrom's. And I say that because Costco is high-volume, low-margin. Nordstrom's is a great service-oriented company, although they've taken into the Trump episode or the Trump issue, you know, of course, pulling all of Ivanka Trump's product line during the election. And I'm telling you, I'm so sick of this, folks. I am really, really sick and tired of this political mayhem that is absolutely going on. What's going on is the protesting hippies from the 60s are now the professors of the 2000s, or they've left their legacy. They've mentored others. We are getting inundated with the most radical crazies ever. People do not understand what free speech is, okay? They don't. I mean, sure, some do. Don't get me wrong. But my point is simple. They, in the colleges, they are learning that it's okay. They believe that their job is to oppose your free speech. They believe that if they disagree with you, folks, I'm not making this up. I don't know if you've heard of Antifa, anti-fascists. You know, fascism is when you use the muscle and the brawn of the government coalesced with private entities, with business, corporate entities, as, you know, corrupt. I mean, let's face it. If there's, you know, companies on Wall Street that are in tight with the government and they have all these exemptions, some spoken, some unspoken, and you can't get to them. They have no liability. They have no accountability. You know, that's kind of like mob behavior. Fascism is mob behavior. And so what you get with these so-called anti-fascists is riotous, violent nut jobs that show up at freedom of speech protests looking for extreme violence. They have this attitude. I was listening to this moronic professor from I don't even know where on the news yesterday, I think. Absolutely creepy looking guy for starters. Double length neck, like unbelievable and just goofy, looked wrong. And he's a professor teaching your kids and mine, hypothetically, that freedom of speech ends when you disagree. They have the attitude that they are the arbiters of truth, that they want to fight for what they call democracy. Now, think of this. This guy claims to be an anarchist, and yet at the same time, he's a proponent of democracy. And he's criticizing what he calls an alt-right guy. Now, alt-right is a nice name, folks, for you and I. It's a nice name for born-again believer, conservative Christians that have firm, fundamental, foundational beliefs in God, that believe he's at the root, etc. So this guy literally believes that if you're an alt-righter, he has a right, a duty, to shut you down. And the problem is anarchy is what? A lack of organization or government. And yet they're for democracy. What that should tell you something about true democracies. They are absolutely a threat in every way. We are not a democracy. We are not remotely a democracy. We only have a form of a democratic form of elections. What other form is there? We have private, we have publicly elected officials to represent us on Capitol Hill. The concept always was, from our founding fathers forward, that these people would go to Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., for a specific period of time, and they would represent you and me. They were to be a peer from our community, somebody who was capable of representing us well, representing our area. Okay? This is no longer the case. We have career politicians. like when Mitch McConnell came out criticizing Trump for wanting to do too much too fast, because as Mitch says, and when Mitch talks, he's like, well, I've been in this business for quite some time, and Donald Trump does not understand how slow things move in the legislative process. And that's literally how he sounds and how he talks. He's slower than a dead turtle, we'll say. And he's criticizing Trump for trying to move too fast. Well, he's right. Trump's moving too fast. He says his expectations were too high. Well, I don't believe it. We voted him in to do some stuff, right? Now he's got massive resistance. We've got this DACA thing going down. You know, there's things that are basically political hot potatoes, right? You touch them, you get burned big. DACA is one of those. It's the children. You know, DACA is the Dreamers Act put in by Obama. What a legacy Obama set, folks. Remember Fundamentally Transform America? Well, he did it. Dreamers are children between the ages of 0 and 15 that were emigrated to the United States by parents against their will, hypothetically. I mean, because they're children, they have to do what their parents do. The attitude is these children are on our soil. You know, it's not their fault. They're contributing to society. They're going to schools. They're doing this. They're doing that. And the whole argument is we can't deport these children. We'll tear up families, blah, blah, blah. You know, kids can't support themselves. In order to deport the child, you got to deport the family. So what we're doing is we're supposedly granting them, you know, they don't want to use the word amnesty. But I don't know what other word to use. Forfeiture. You know, safety, I don't know. But the bottom line is it's going to be okay for them to be here. Now, the kids never did anything wrong. Boy, I could go off on this. It's hard for me not to. I am telling you, folks, this disrespect for the rule of law, the Democrats no longer want a border wall. This is what the problem is. They are for open borders. They're foolish idiots. It's simple. Why? Did you know that recently, in a country, when there's a local municipality or and I'm going to look it up here, I'm sorry, I was typing something. Let me do this. Okay, and I'll get that off my head. I don't type and talk very well at the same time. So a local municipality, a local government, basically voted, city council agreed to let illegal immigrants allowed to vote, okay? This is the new battle. This is what's coming. And the left has adopted the slime. The Republicans, the historical Republican legacy stolen by the Democrats is unbelievable. The Democrats are trying to lay claim to all of these amazing acts the Republicans have accomplished over time, like freedom of slavery, you know, the whole civil rights movement, the Republican movement. And somehow, just through, you know, the same activity as Antifa, anti-fascist. They're absolutely the most radical fascists you can imagine. And then, what do? They say we're against fascism. And then you're like, no, you're the fascist. And it creates this chaotic confusion, right? You're like, you know, no one knows what's going on. Terms are misdefined and convoluted and so on. So the Democrats have taken complete responsibility, I suppose, for essentially everything, all the civil rights accomplishments of the Republicans. The Republicans are generally God-fearing, God-believing, you know, God-loving individuals. And so what's going on is, you know, they're rational, they're reasonable, they're legitimate. It's always accusations. The left is attacking the right. Trump's obviously being wise with this DACA thing. He's in a brutally tough spot. What do you do in this situation? Well, the problem is that now that illegal immigrants are allowed to vote in, actually, it was a state. Oh, my gosh. All over America, folks. This is so out of control. This is absolutely out of control. This is the beginning of it. The beginning of the end of America. They are methodically destroying us and tearing us down. The damage that's being done to this country right now is heinous, hideous, terrible, reckless, concerning, so on. Call me doom and gloom, but you tell me. Illegal immigrants allowed to vote. Who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for whoever promises them freebies. Who else are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for whoever it is that says, no, we want to save those people. Don't kick them out. Keep them here. Let them come across the border. We don't want a wall. A wall won't do any good at all. You know, a wall is worthless. And, you know, just come on in, guys. And then, oh, no, the border's completely secure. And we're deporting tons of people every day. And they say, Obama deported more people than Bush. Well, that's because they're using statistics of people who are turned around at the border. That's called deportation under Obama's new definition. The Dreamer Act, in a nutshell, is here to stay. It's, folks, I don't know how to explain this to you. There's so many misnomers and miscommunications and confusion over this because people literally believe that the Christian thing to do is what? Accept the sojourner, accept the foreigner. Yes, but not when he breaks the law. Folks, if you live in a town and a foreigner comes through town, Jesus says, open your door and offer hospitality to them. He even goes on to say, you don't even know who you're entertaining, for many have entertained angels unaware. Okay, great. What do you do when you find out someone's broken into your house? Do you come home and you find two Mexicans in your house that shattered the window and they're in your house ransacking it, looking for free stuff? And you say, oh, welcome, friends. Let me prepare you a feast and show my love and hospitality to you. Well, hopefully not. You probably call the police, and the police come and arrest them and say, look, you don't have a right. That's not your property. You aren't a citizen of this property. You're not the rightful owner. You don't belong here. You're going to jail. This is what the problem is. Now, the DACA thing, it's just, you have to understand, the agenda of the left never stops, okay? I mean, whether it's abortion or homosexuality or transgender, folks, they are absolutely diminishing your and my morality and nullifying it and desensitizing you to it to such an extreme that by the time people wake up, it's too late. It's already too late, folks. Our debt and deficit. I mean, I was just looking, reading an article here. October alone, our deficit will increase by $800 billion. October alone. Think about that. $3,000 for you, me, and everyone else in a month. $3,000 in debt. I've talked about our $1.7 million that you and I owe just in deficit. Not counting our own debt, not counting our student loans, not counting our mortgage, $1.7 million, $1.8 now, that the government's hung on you just in the most pure form of debt. Our government blows it. The $800 billion, thanks Trump. He is on a spending spree. He doesn't get it. What Donald Trump is doing is running a corporation. He's taking the company the way he found it. He's streamlining it. He's fine-tuning it. He's got objectives to obtain, to acquire, a lot because of promises he made, some for philosophical reasons. To him, it's a company. He's not going to come in and completely gut the company and say, look, this may be a shoe company, but we're going to turn it into a hat company. You know, it makes no sense. Well, in his mind, and that's the problem. In all honesty, with all that we've seen going down, Ted Cruz would have been the best president. Rand Paul would be terrific, too, if he could ever get the popular support. But the media will not give it to him. He's a true anti-establishment. I mean, he's a true free independent thinker, okay? They literally blew him off primarily because he wasn't a hawk on war. He didn't want to go to war everywhere all the time. That's a problem. That's where we're at right now. And I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, but folks, I want you to understand. I don't believe that I am randomly ranting and raving about the status quo to create a bunch of conspiracies. I had someone recently contact me about the show and said, everything I talk about is a conspiracy. Perhaps they were referring to all my, you know, my barrage of facts on 9/11. A lot of things you should ask yourself questions why. You know, I've been called unpatriotic, anti-America, against freedom. You know, I mean, seriously, just for raising questions, people are very, very narrow-minded. I mean, I've talked about the drug war, and I've said the drug war is a massive cesspool, a massive financial cesspool into which we dump a horrendous amount of money, only to make the problem bigger and more of a challenge. Folks, we got problems. I've said this for a while, and man, I wish I could tell you otherwise. You know, I don't know where to start and where to end. Trust me in this. There is so much going on with our nation right now. It has never been through a stress test of this caliber, okay? Never. So you've got to realize when God took prayer out of the courts and the public schools in 1962 or whatever, if you could see the graphs and charts that I've seen of what happened in this nation, holy moly, moly, holy, blow your mind. I mean, absolutely blow your mind. Teenage pregnancy, through the roof. You know, homosexual activity, through the roof. Divorce, through the roof. People living together outside of marriages, through the roof. You know, obviously I said teenage pregnancy, but also children born out of wedlock, through the roof. The Supreme Court, back, you know, in time when there, I think it was around the 1920s, a guy was blaspheming God. He was saying bad things in writing about God, not just voicing his opinion, but literally blaspheming God. He was passing out some kind of pamphlet and writing, and the local municipality or whoever it was shut him down, said no more. That's filth. He took that case all the way to the Supreme Court to hypothetically defend his free speech rights and right to practice religion, whatever. He lost. The Supreme Court ruled that the Christian heritage is so near and dear to the foundational principles of the United States of America from our founding fathers that an attack on God of the Bible, blasphemy of God, an attack on God is an attack on the United States and is the equivalent of treason. Okay? This is what we had just a century ago. Now, bring it on. We've got liberal activist judges that have been appointed by radical left-wing presidents. You know, never before have we had such a level of extreme activism for out of judges. I mean, you know, they may have been here and there, and but, you know, they don't act in good conscience. Not all of them, but some. That they, you know, they don't look for what's right and true and best. They've got these agendas, and despite the facts, it's like, don't confuse me with the facts. You know, those are just too hard and confusing, and that's where we're at in this nation today. We are reaping what we've sowed, and I know, like I said, I bounced and bounced, but I'm telling you, I just am telling you, I am really concerned. Now, what, you know, is normal, the quiet before the storm. Now, I'm not going to say it's quiet. We've had hurricanes and earthquakes and, you know, shootings. And I mean, this country is under judgment. It's under persecution, right? You know, when it talks in the Bible about the, I mentioned recently, the restrainer being lifted, and people say, well, that is, you know, the pre-trib rapture. Folks, the restrainer is being lifted now, and it's through sin, and it's through godlessness, and it's through casting out of Bibles, and, you know, not even being able to find a Bible in your hotel room anymore, and on we go. I will criticize the Gideons in one way. I think it's amazing, their ministry, that they're putting Bibles everywhere. But the fact that they have to stick to the King James Version of the Bible is bad for people, folks. And if you're one of the hardcore King Jamesers, go out and do some real research and find out what flaws exist in the King James Version of the Bible that you think is the actual inspired scripture. You know, the joke goes, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, okay? Now, to explain it for those of you who don't get it, there was no Bible back then per se, no constructed bound book. King James wasn't written at the time of Christ. It was written hundreds of years ago. But the point is, people are so, you know, devout to the King James Version that they act as if Jesus read it. Jesus was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, okay? You need a good translation. NIV, not a big fan. NASB is a pretty good transliteration. But I'll tell you what. If you're studying the Word of God, and you better be, you should be in the Word every day, every single day. I've told you a million times, my foundational reading is Proverbs, the Proverbs of the day, followed by a prayer day in and day out for wisdom and blessing and prosperity and the ability to represent God well, to glorify Him, exalt Him, and et cetera, and so on. Then I will move, you know, when I end during the reading, I'll move on past Proverbs, or some nights I'll read, you know, 5 or 10 chapters of something or whatever. But you've got to be in the Word every day. If you are in the Word now and you are not looking up the Greek and the Hebrew, you're missing out so bad. I mean, you're missing out on the meaning of so many words and so many mistranslations. The best translation, the most accurate translation, thus far, at least as of, you know, a couple decades ago, was NASB, N-A-S-B. But, you know, there may be something even a little better now out there. But, you know, then they'll say, oh, the English Standard Version. All over the internet, you type in most accurate translations of the Bible. Oh, and they're all pushing this ESV. I go read this thing. This is watered down milk toast, you know. Jesus, you know, our Lord and Savior, God incarnate, didn't die on the cross. Some guy named Jesus did. And you might say, what's the difference? Jesus, Lord, Savior, Christ, all the same. Well, if you don't know that, and you read about Jesus dying on the cross, what difference does it make? He's just a guy named Jesus. You know, they have literally removed where it says the Lord Jesus Christ and put in Jesus all over. The prophecy that Jesus will be born of a virgin is gone, okay? It's out of there. It just says a young lady, and not even a young maiden. I mean, they've taken it away. So now all of a sudden Jesus is born. He's not born of a virgin. He's just born, right? Well, what good's that? He's just a man. No, everything Jesus did is documented in the annals of history better than anything you can ever look up. God preserved it so well. And I love these stories of people like the movie that's out now, The Case for Christ, the true story of the guy, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he literally went out to disprove Christianity and became a firm foundational believer because the facts overwhelmed him, inundated him, etc. So when we took the Bible and prayer and blah, blah, blah out of the, you know, took God out of the schools and out of the courts, we recording screw up again. I've had this problem. If you listen to the radio show online, it's, you know, don't ask me. This system keeps saying it's overloaded. I'm sure you wanted to know that. But anyway, God gave us this incredible planning, this magnificent journey. Absolutely. I've told my wife, you know, I would love to retire and just look at the beauty of the earth, travel all around the world and see all the magnificent beauty of just the earth. So many Christians avoid cultural events and they avoid magnificent shows and plays and they don't get out and do things. They equate anything constructed by man that's not just a specifically Christian event as almost a sin, man. Not the case at all. God made this magnificent, beautiful domain that we live in. It's incredible. He didn't do that for no reason. I've had people say, well, you know, it's just the way things come together. You know, when he created the earth, yeah, it's beautiful to us, but just rocks and stuff. And, you know, heaven's going to be way more pretty. Well, yeah, heaven will be way more pretty. But, man, there's a lot to see and do. Get out there and enjoy yourself and make friends. You know, different levels of social activity for different people, I get. But, man, God gave us this robust life. As Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. He wants to bless you. You know, and here's the thing. I'm not a health and wealther. But I will still sit here and say God wants to bless you. He wants you to have prosperity. He doesn't, I mean, people say, oh man, that's not even right. You know, I think God wants you to be really humble and you need to be poor and live in a really old single wide trailer and wear the same bib overalls every day for 3 weeks and, you know, have a beater car in the yard. And no, that doesn't glorify God at all. I mean, if you're trailer trash, excuse the term, but if you're living in a single wide trailer and your yard's full of junked out cars and trash all over, shame on you. Clean it up. That lifestyle represents Christ if you're a believer. Clean it up. Get rid of it. And along those lines, as far as cleaning up goes, if you haven't used something for 6 months, they say get rid of it. If you got junk everywhere that you might need a bolt off of someday, get rid of it. Recycle it or whatever. Just get rid of it. Free yourself of that bondage. Get rid of the junk and clean up your life. Clean up your house. I had a Christian friend that, you know, there's other stories that go along with this, but basically had a wife that was the biggest pig you've ever seen. Absolute biggest pig. Raised her kids on pizza. Their house is full of empty pizza boxes. They bought a nice house in Idaho, a beautiful little Cape Cod. And his wife, when they were moving in, decided she wanted to take out all this really cute wallpaper. While they were still moving the boxes in, she got a whatever it is you do to wallpaper. You score it. You go over it with this device that just trashes it. And you're supposed to do that before you pull it off. She went through and just scored all the wallpaper in the house, just destroyed it. They moved into this house. There were boxes everywhere for years. She never got out of the boxes. Her kitchen was a filthy, stinky mess. Her kids, she'd just shove them in front of the TV all the time and feed them pizza. They all grew up fat and unhealthy. And what was she doing all the time? Oh, she was working at the church. And she was, you know, going on missions, leaving her husband with her 5 kids and saying, I'm serving Jesus. And, you know, there's people where the church will say, look, ladies, don't get overbent about your house. Don't be so anal that you're missing God, right? And so people blow that out of proportion. They use that as an excuse to be a mess, to be a pig, to be a poor representation of Christ. You need to clean. If you don't know how, learn, okay? One of the problems with people cleaning is hoarder's disorder. If you can't stop yourself from accumulating junk, you can't clean. God did not mean for you to go this way. If you are a hoarder, okay, that is idolatry. That is a form of greed where you can't let go. You're not willing to give stuff up. You're putting your faith in things. You're grasping onto things while they're killing you. They'll kill relationships and everything else. If one of you out there listening is one of those, you will know well what I'm referring to. It's just like anorexia nervosa. It's a disease. And it is separating you from God. You cannot know the Lord and be an obsessive compulsive hoarder. If you've got that disorder, get help, get rid of it, get whatever. And something happened to you while you were a child. I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to tell you what happened to you when you were a child. But I will tell you simply enough, you are not supposed to be this way. God did not make you that way. He may have given you personality traits that have been overemphasized, but trauma in your childhood, etc. You put way too much faith in things. Now, things are a blessing from God, but they are not our source of happiness or joy whatsoever. And you're like, oh, sure. But anyway, you get my point, okay? So here we are again. What's new? Let's talk a bit. Oh, boy, I do this, don't I? I wanted to talk about communism, and I'm not doing that. We've got some stuff going on here. So I think what we may want to do is look at a few different things real quick. I've been talking about communism, and I'll tell you, folks, so much of what we're dealing with in this country today is rooted in communism. And I want to tell you straight up, with an $800 billion debt increase coming, and with the internal battles of this nation, and with borders being open like Swiss cheese, letting illegal immigrants in, and with illegal immigrants being able to vote, folks, you are not going to see this country improve, okay? It's not going to get fiscally stronger. With anarchists and conservative, anti-Christian movements being at all-time highs of strength, this reminds me of the historical refutations, historical evidence or facts of countries like Cambodia or whatever, these countries that get taken over by communism, and you've got people, you've got radical rebels everywhere, you've got people fighting, basically ushering in this destructive form of government out of foolishness just because they want a cause to fight and so on. Anyway, nutshell, here, that's where we're at. Okay, we've got stuff coming. Now, big financial mayhem takes place in September, October a lot. It's always October, isn't it? It's always October. Something could be coming. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just telling you, things stink. There's a lot of pressure. There's a ton of discontent. God's obviously not overly pleased with us. And to keep it simple, folks, I'm telling you, you know, put your money in hard assets. You don't have to come in and just load up on buckets of gold and silver and, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end. By the way, it will one of these days. But in the meantime, be a wise steward. Buy solid, permanent assets. You don't have to go get a bunch of exotic rare coins. You don't need a gold coin the size of your pupil that's worth $50,000. Trust me. They've got them. I don't, but they exist. You need to understand that these kinds of assets, precious metals-based assets, are real money, okay? They're the real deal. They've outperformed all the currencies through history. They are the true preservation of wealth. We provide the highest-rated privately held depository service in the Northwest region and beyond, extraordinarily secure. I had a security expert in here who did some kind of document preservation for the U.S. Navy. And this guy knew his stuff. And he was buying a very significant amount of stuff, and he wanted to store it, and he wanted to know questions, and he grilled me on our place. And He instantly assumed that our safe deposit boxes were insufficient, that the building security was insufficient, and all he was going to do is confirm what he already knew. After we talked for about 15 minutes, and he grilled me on every aspect, and he said, wow. He goes, I don't think I could have done any better myself. The way you constructed this building is phenomenal. It is, there is layer upon layer upon layer of security. The closer you get to the vaults, the worse it gets. You know, walls that are full of inch and a quarter military grade Kevlar, bullet and bomb resistive polycarbonates that look like glass, 800 pound bomb proof doors, class two vaults filled with composite concrete, specifically designed to destroy tools of all sorts. And then that, again, is wrapped outside in a one-inch plate of T1 tool-resistant plate steel, which weighs almost 100 pounds a square foot. And then, you know, 42 cameras on premises, you know, inside, outside, recording at three different locations, 24-7 motion surveillance, heat sensors, seismic detectors, on and on and on, okay? There's more, but I'm not going to get into it. But I'm telling you, super security. You know, if you want to think of the worst case scenario when all hell breaks loose, we'll be here. This building is Fort Knox. It is the most secure building. When we had the power outage, whenever it was a year ago, and every single business in the area was broken into and ransacked, they did not get into Coins Plus. Or if someone lies, you're not instantly, you know, out the money. That's the important thing. There's no what they call counterparty risk. That's what I'm saying. No one can lie and devastate the value of your metal or your coins. Now, folks, rare coins, they're great investments. They really are. We've got the best of the best right now, the best of the best of the best. I secured the nicest dollar set, Morgan silver dollar set I've ever bought. And it is phenomenal. They're all certified. It's over the top incredible. These are the best investment grade coins. Trust me, folks, I take my own advice. I put every penny I can into specific items, and we've moved many, 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 many hundreds of millions of dollars in product.